I love that about God. There's this respect and this honor given to our free will, and he says, you know what, I want to invite you to come. And we have this time at Christmas season when we kind of ponder and we think about this baby Jesus coming to this earth, the incarnation, God becoming flesh for us. And as we thought through this series and what we wanted to talk about, we said, you know what, he came at Christmas, but what we want to talk about during this series is that, I mean, obviously he didn't remain a baby. He grew to a man and made an invitation, and just kind of his life was just lived out as an invitation to us. And it continues to be lived out. And in this particular passage that Tiara read in John chapter 7, we have this whole build up, and then we have kind of the shortest sermon that you'll find in the Gospel of John. And it's simply this: Jesus stood up and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." There's this incredible kind of brazen, kind of bold, kind of off the chart sort of invitation that Jesus makes. It's just, I think it was mind-blowing to the people back then. It was like, what? It's just a person? There's this whole buildup of confusion about who he is and what he's exactly saying, but very simply he's just saying, I want to invite you to me. That your deepest desires, your deepest longings, your deepest hopes and expectations can be met in a personal relationship with me. And it's a powerful thing. When you think about the accessibility of that, it's for everyone. None of us has to jump through hoops, do a bunch of stuff, join some club. It's just simply, just come. And it happens in our hearts. And I'm glad that we get a chance like this in the busyness of the Christmas season, the festivities and everything, just to pause for a moment and think, what is it that I really want? What am I looking for? What are my hopes and expectations for life and at this Christmas season? What am I wanting? This is what we're looking for. We have a video that we're going to show. And we've been going through different people in our church, just kind of highlighting them. And Dale and Cheryl bring you down a little bit of a path of kind of their journey and their life and kind of where they found themselves. And I just want to invite you to check out this video for a few minutes.
We were built sometimes as humans. It's very easy to forget who gave you the blessings that you have in the first place until you have something challenged or taken away.
I had my kind of background, how I get to meeting Cheryl online was I had gone through a divorce after being married for about 15 years.
I was 44. I'd never been married before. And a lot of my girlfriends said, well, how can you continue, you know, believing that God has a husband for you, and how can you continue dating and putting yourself out there kind of thing, you know, you're 44. And I said, because I know who my God is.
I wrote a letter, it's called the what if letter, we call it, and I just said, what if all these things that you think are in the way of having a relationship with me, what if we could get around these things, you know, and would you consider possibility of a relationship with me? And so I asked her to take the weekend to think about this, and she called me that very night and just said, I like you too.
God really did know what both of us needed, and we're a great team together. He has blessed us amazingly through everything, and I mean, there's so many things we could tell you, but we ended up on a ranch in Saskatchewan and had horses, and that was going to be part of our ministry for the Lord, along with some other businesses. And it was for a while until Dale had a heart attack and triple bypass. And that kind of threw a wrench in what we thought the Lord wanted us to do.
We were really pushing to try and develop something there, and then 3 years later, I have this major heart attack and triple bypass surgery. And in the 3 months of recovery kind of after that, I was really confused, kind of, I thought I was on the right track here, Lord, you know, and what was this all about?
And so we reevaluated why we were here and what we wanted to do and what we thought the Lord wanted us to do, which was basically to be here to serve Him for as long as He would have us here. So we made some pretty tough decisions and sold the ranch and the businesses, and we moved here.
When we left Saskatoon, or when everybody found out that we were leaving Saskatoon, everybody was like, well, I just said, I've been a planner my entire life. I'm not planning anymore. I'm planning. I'm moving out there and allowing the Lord basically to lead us into whatever He has for us.
The whole heart attack thing and going through that together. You know, these hard times can either make or break your relationship with each other, your relationship with God, and it made us hunker down even closer, both to God and each other.
I think our move to BC was just trying to put the busyness of life aside so that we could focus on what He desired from us. And in that, there's peace in kind of going, we're going to a place spiritually and physically that will provide us a peaceful environment to listen better, to seek His will.
And I also, and I think both of us, also realize that it's not God's intention for us to be rushing around trying to figure out things. Because if we are still before Him and listen and abide in who He is and in His Word, then He will provide us the tools. He will provide us the direction. He will provide us the energy and strength.
Thanks, Dale and Cheryl, for sharing your story with us. There's kind of a theme that was running throughout for their hearts. God, what are you doing here? This is unexpected. We didn't really know how this is all going to turn out, but you hear them saying, you know what, at the very core of who we are, we just want what you want, God. We want you. And that's really what Jesus is inviting us to in this statement, where He says, come to me. Come to me. And I will take whatever the circumstances, whatever the hopes and the dreams, and I'm going to work it out. But it really takes us coming first to Him and saying, whatever you want, God. And then the whole plan starts to kind of work itself out. We have a story here. For 2,000 years, people haven't changed much. As Tira read that story about how people were expecting things that weren't turning out, they talked about, you know, when the Messiah comes, He's going to do such and such. He's going to come from such and such place. He's going, this isn't what we're seeing when Jesus is showing up. And then they're saying, you know what, this is the time. This is when you need to kind of step forward, God, or this is when you need to step forward, Jesus. And He wasn't stepping forward the way they expected Him to. And then they're saying, you know what, somehow this isn't working out. I don't get this. This isn't I can't understand what you're about here, God. And it's not much different for us today. Oftentimes in the circumstances of our life, and even maybe even as you look at this next week, and you go, okay, we've got these events planned and how they are going to work out. There's an opportunity that Jesus puts before us, and that's what He did. He stepped before them at the very end of the festival, and He said, come to me. The way the story kind of goes is Jesus was hanging back in Judea, in Galilee, when His brothers were saying to Him, now you need to go to the festival. Everybody was gathering. Back then they had kind of three major festivals that they would do. Kind of, we have Christmas and Easter and maybe Thanksgiving, I'm not sure. But they had different festivals. This was the Festival of Tents, they called it. Or the Festival of, it was all about living in tabernacles, in shelters. And the idea behind their festival was, this was probably one of the biggest, was they would actually go, it was almost like camping. It was almost like family camp. They would go and they would set up shelters and they would live in them and they would eat in them. And it was to remind them of how they went through the wilderness back in the time of Moses, a very significant part in their history, when they lived in tents. And they were kind of moving from place to place. And so this is what it was about. And so everybody would go for a week in Jerusalem. And his brothers, Jesus' brothers actually came to Him and they said to Him, leave here and go to Judea where your followers can see your miracles. You can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world. A very interesting statement, for even his brothers didn't believe in him. Can you imagine that? Here they had grown up with him, they had seen him. But John in his gospel always talked about belief. Will you believe? And at this point, his brothers were still on a journey of belief. They didn't really believe. This is actually God in man. And so he makes a point of that. But the brothers were saying, you know what? You've done these wonderful miracles. Why can't you just go and, you know, make a big splash over there in Jerusalem? This is what kind of people are expecting of you. We want you to do something for us. Do something that makes us believe in you. And Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm about. And he eventually did go to the festival, but he went late, and he kind of stayed behind the scenes. And he didn't really live up to the expectations that they were hoping for. He wasn't there doing miracles and kind of making it all kind of wild and crazy. He was kind of stepping back. And he ended up in dialogue, and we hear some of that. But I see in this kind of theme, in this kind of story, just that whole idea that God isn't always showing up as we expect him to. I mean, nobody expected him to show up in Bethlehem as a baby. These people were working through their expectations. Like, he's coming from Galilee, but isn't he supposed to come from Bethlehem? And people weren't looking into it enough to realize, okay, that's all there. So oftentimes in our lives, we come with expectations. I think about Christmas. And, you know, when you're a little kid and you're waiting for Christmas and the presents and everything, and you just, oh, am I going to get what I'm hoping for? And maybe you've got kids this Christmas already, and you're going, okay, can we pull this off? Is this going to meet expectations? There's a whole lot of expectations around Christmas, isn't there? I look at that, and I see it's kind of a microcosm for life, isn't it? The whole thing of Christmas is there's this build-up, and is it going to work out how I hope it will? And so oftentimes in life, it's like that, right? Will my love life work out like I hope it will? Will my relationships work out the way I hope they will? Maybe even at Christmas time, you're looking at some relationships that might be kind of rocky, might kind of challenging, might be in family. You say, okay, I hope so. I hope this meets my expectations. Oftentimes we have expectations in finances, and we say, you know, I was hoping that I would get to this place. And maybe it isn't working out exactly like we thought. Or maybe in our health, maybe it's our own health or a family member or a friend that we say, you know what, I expect this to happen. And oftentimes we kind of put God on trial and we say, okay, God, if you can meet these expectations of mine, then I'll believe in you. And what you see again and again in the Gospel of John is Jesus saying, would you come to me? The invitation is come to me first. Will you believe in me? And lay your expectations down before me, and then I will fill you with living water. It's really coming to God rather than with a clenched hand, coming in with an open hand and saying, here's my expectations, God. I've got them. I'm going to pray about them. I'm going to hope that they come true, but I'm ultimately going to put them in front of you. And Jesus said this incredible exchange happens then. There's like God just comes in, and his Holy Spirit just kind of fills us, and he goes, okay, now I've got you where I want you to be. Now I can meet you here. God invites us to walk with him, to come to him first with belief. I think, too, about oftentimes our expectations are related with timing. And there's this theme going on in this passage about timing as well. Jesus had a great sense of timing. Again and again, you see in the Gospels, in the Gospel of John, you see this kind of sense of, well, my time isn't right yet. You see in verse 6, it says, Jesus replied, now is not the right time for me to go, but you can go any time. Then he goes on, leads through. And then later on, he talks about, well, there's people that are hating me. Some of these people went, man, he's got a bit of a paranoia. But Jesus knew a whole lot more about what was going on than a lot of the regular people did. And then it says at the end of there, verse 30, it says, then the leaders tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. It's a powerful kind of message in there about even our sense of timing. Oftentimes we come expecting God to show up now, to do this thing now. You heard that a little bit of that in Dale and Cheryl's story too. Like, God, why aren't you fulfilling these needs that I have, you know, even in my relationships now? And there's this kind of sense where we go, okay, God, at the right time, in the right place, you're going to work things out. Your timing is perfect. I'm willing to give you whatever time it is that you need. And to recognize that he's about coming at the right time to meet us where he wants to fill us as he wants and when he wants. There's a little book that we're putting on the table. Something we've started doing, we're going to keep adding to it, is putting books on the information table that you can take out and borrow and then return. And we've done that with 1,000 gifts with that book. And we've got a little booklet here called The Circle Maker, and we're going to order a whole bunch of those. I'm going to put a few on there on the table for now. But it's written by Mark Batterson. It's called the subline is The Solution to 10,000 Problems. And the main point of the booklet is to pray. To pray about our expectations, our hopes, our dreams, and what God's going to do. But he has this little story, and he says, there was a man who was sizing up God by asking, God, how long is 1,000,000 years to you? And God said, well, 1,000,000 years is like a second. Then the man asked, how much is $1,000,000 to you? And God said, $1,000,000 is like a penny. The man smiled and said, could you spare a penny? God smiled back and said, sure, just wait a second. You know, so oftentimes we come to God and we say, I want it now. And you think about even the expectation of Christmas. You know, when we're little kids, we're like, oh, I just want Christmas to come. I want it to come now. And I just think about that as adults. We kind of smile and say, oh, it's going to come. It's going to come. Just wait. It's coming. I think about God's posture to us, right? And how God's smiling and saying, oh, just wait. Will you wait on me? I will come. I will come through in my time, in my way. Part of coming to God and saying, God, I want you to fill me, is to kind of come to him and say, I'm going to even lay down my timing expectations to you. Whatever time is right for you. It might even be very good things. Maybe you're looking for healing or reconciliation between people and you're doing everything you can. And it's also coming to God and saying, God, you know, I'm going to do what I can. This isn't fatalism. It isn't kind of saying, okay, now I just step out of the picture completely. But it's coming and saying, okay, I'll do what you can do through me. I'm going to lay this before you. But ultimately, it's your timing, whatever you want. It might be that job situation. Maybe as you look towards 2015, you're saying, it has to happen this year. This year it has to happen. Part of being filled with what God is saying, living water, is saying, I'm going to even take the timing issue and I'm going to put it before you, God, and say, in your time. Your time is going to be right. Jesus has a great sense of timing. Jesus, too, has a greater understanding of what is going on than us. You know, each of these things, expectation, timing, understanding, saying, God, I just don't get this. All of these things can cause an incredible amount of frustration within us. I think what Jesus was saying is when we release these things, when we come to him and say, you know what, God, I don't understand everything. There's a sense in which that creates room in our spirit that God can come in and fill. Up until then, we've got everything kind of clammed up, and there's no room there anymore because we're going, I got these expectations, and it's got to happen now, and God, I just have to understand this. And God says, will you take it to me and just even suspend your understanding? Recognize that there's a lot of things in life that are mystery. You know, I think the longer we live, the more we go, okay, there's a bunch of stuff here that I don't get. But it's coming to God and saying, you know, even this I'm going to give to you. You look at the people at that time, especially the Jewish leaders, they were always frustrated with Jesus. It was like, this guy is not doing it. How? I don't understand what he's up to. He's just a wild card here. It says in verse 33, Jesus told them, I will be with you only a little longer. Then I will return to the one who sent me. You will search for me, but you will not find me. And you cannot go where I'm going. I mean, from our perspective now, we clearly understand it. Okay, he knew that he was going to die. That was his mission on earth. He was going to take upon himself the sins of the world. And then he was going to go to the Father in heaven. He was going to come back to life and go to the Father in heaven. And he's saying, I came from eternity and I'm going to eternity. These guys just didn't get it at all. The Jewish leaders were puzzled by this statement. They said, where is he planning to go? They're looking at this and going, he was always confounding them. Oftentimes in our lives, we're looking at things and going, now, God, you aren't working within our dimensions and how we expect you to work. Could it be that God's got this kind of viewpoint that's beyond time and space, and he's able to look at this whole thing, and he's going, Now, I've got this plan, and I'm working it out, and I'm going to work this out. If you wait on me, if you give me your expectations, if you let me, in my own time, do it. There's a movie that came out recently. It's called Interstellar. I had to go and see it. And it's an interesting concept. It's the whole idea that the Earth is drying up, you know, and the humankind has to look for another galaxy to live in and stuff. And obviously Matthew McConaughey's going to come in and you know, save the day. And so he ends up getting on a spaceship to another galaxy kind of thing to try and find another place for humans to live in. But the lead up to it is this whole idea of his daughter finding in her room that, you know, books are being pushed off of the shelf, and there's this whole kind of ghost theme. But I'm going to ruin the movie for you here, but at the end, you find out that really it's Matthew McConaughey behind the scenes as he's gone into outer space. He's working beyond time and space dimension. It's kind of a mind-blowing thing. And he's trying to get his daughter's attention. Now, obviously, that's fiction. But when you think of it from God's perspective, he's working out things. He's working from behind the scenes, behind the bookshelf, behind whatever it is. And he's working out his plan. And he's giving us clues, and he's giving us signs. We won't always get it, but he's asking us to be attentive to it and to say, you know, whatever it is that I'm up to, I want you to kind of, rather than you make the plan and saying, I'm always the initiator, it's all about what I'm doing. It's standing back and saying, okay, you've got a plan, and I'm going to just kind of look for it. I'm going to work with it. There's a kind of a theological word for that. It's called sovereignty. It's kind of believing that God is working beyond our plans, beyond our space and time dimension, that he's working out things that we can't see. I think one of the most wonderful things that could bring the Christmas spirit inside of us during this season is kind of recognizing, okay, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all the things that may be not working out the way I thought or whatever it might be, I'm going to just kind of give that to you, God. It's your plan. And when we make room in our lives for that, then it's like springs of living water come into us. You know, it's a powerful theme that Jesus did. When he made this great invitation, you can put that verse up there. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. It's interesting, God's timing. Jesus was kind of behind the scenes, and then finally he just went public right at the very last day. And in this festival, what they would do at the very last day, on the eighth day, is they would actually pour water around the altar. And it was kind of this very special symbolic moment. It's almost like, you know, people waiting for the giant Christmas tree to light up or whatever. All the crowds were around. Everybody was together. And Jesus, with his great sense of timing, said, you see that water that's being poured out there? He says, that can flow into you in a very supernatural and powerful way. That can be in your life. And when you spend a little bit of time in the Middle East, you realize that water was this incredible commodity. I mean, living here on the rainy, wet coast, it's very hard for us to imagine that, especially with the kind of week that we had. It was interesting. I was working on the sermon while I was sitting in my car once, and it was just dumping. Friday. It was incredible how it was coming down. And we take water so for granted here, fresh water. But when you live in some of these arid regions, you realize, wow, when you talk about water and how I'm going to give you water that will never run out, this caught people's attention. And he says, for the scriptures declare, and we're not sure exactly what scripture was Jesus was talking about. It was probably Ezekiel 47, where it says there's going to be a river that's going to flow down. And right below, kind of Jerusalem's kind of at the top of the hill, and it was sort of a cloud shower kind of a thing that would happen. The water would dump at the top, and then it would just flow down this desert where it never rained. And people would catch them in these cisterns, in these big, huge containers underground, because they knew that there would be months before water would come. But in Ezekiel, there's this whole vision of it just flowing forever, flowing down into the Dead Sea and making the Dead Sea fresh again. And the Dead Sea is literally dead because it's got so many minerals in it. It's talking about palm trees growing around the edges. And in Revelation, you have this incredible picture of the sea and the water and the freshness. And Jesus was alluding to all that. He was saying, you're going to have something come into your life that's going to be there, that's going to cause growth, that's going to, you know, result in a vitality of your life. And the people got the image. They got what he was saying. The great invitation is that our thirst can be fulfilled. It really can. I think it brings us to kind of a very important question, a question I think we all have to wrestle with and deal with, and I think it's very personal to each one of us, but it's this question, is Jesus enough? Like, at the end of the day, if whatever happens in my expectations, if whatever happens timing-wise and it's not coming through, if whatever happens in my life in terms of the plan and how I don't get it, is Jesus enough? And I think it's a question each one of us has to kind of wrestle down and say, is that really real for me? No matter what's going on in my life during this Christmas season, is if I have Jesus, if I have this living water flowing into my life, yeah, I've got expectations, I've got hopes, I've got dreams, I want something to happen, I want it to now, but I'm willing to bring all of that to Jesus and say, now you fill me. You do what you want to do. You know, let it rain here with me. God promises that our thirst will be satisfied. There's a simple response that we can have, and that's kind of where John leaves it right here. Leaves it for all the people. Our simple response is, I believe. You're all I need. You are really what I need. Like a thirsty person dying in the desert, what I need is you to flow into me. And the great thing about Jesus is that it's accessible to all of us. It's not show up at this many services in the new year and you're going to get filled, or show up at all of those things can help. They're all good things, but it's really about a prayer. It's really about a posture. It's about a heart attitude saying, I really believe that what you said is true, Jesus. That what I'm really looking for is you in my life. And in a sense, we turn around and make an invitation to him. That's how the great invitation works. He invites us. And then like that song we sang, it's this, come, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want you in my life. The invitation is for us to do that during this Christmas season. It's the freedom of discipleship. We're free to refuse, but if we want water, it's just simply saying, come, fill me up. I want to invite the band to come up. We'll close with a song, and I'll close with a prayer, and I'll just start this prayer with just that simple statement, come Lord Jesus. And if you want in your own heart to say that to God, and maybe in a moment, I'll give a little bit of time, maybe in a sense you want to just say to God in your own mind and heart, that expectation, I'm giving that to you. That thing that I'm waiting for, the timing of it, I give that to you. Lord, whatever it is, the thing that I don't understand, I'm giving that to you. And that creates room. We will find that Jesus fills our hearts at that point. I want to invite you to stand, if you all stand with me, and we'll just close. God, we just start with a simple prayer. We say, I believe you are all I need. Come, Lord Jesus. That expectation, that thing that I want now, that thing that I don't understand, I just give it to you. God, I thank you that as we do that, springs of living water flow up in our hearts. I thank you, God, that you fill our hearts as we make room, as we make space inside, as we give over these things. I thank you that your promise is true, that you do what you said, and your invitation is real. And I thank you that we can walk with you personally through the challenges, the joys, the wonderment of this season. I thank you, God, that we can be sure that you are living in us, flowing through us, flowing out of us to refresh others as well. In your name, amen.